pray. Heavenly Father, again, we're grateful for your continued presence, your love, your constant revealing yourself to us, getting us in a position where you will have the preeminence in order to put the statue that you are forming now, masterpiece, on the proper pedestal back into the Garden of Eden. We recognize these things, Lord, and we appreciate them. Now, Father, fill hungry hearts that are here this morning. Your own word is said, if you're hungry, you will be filled. If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, especially, the great filler of all will certainly fill that void. We ask you, therefore, for your intermediacy to be very, very strong on our behalf. Today is a great mediator, that you will come now, Jesus, high priest between us and most high and holy God, and give the desires of the hearts of men who yearn toward ye, ye Lord, the fullness that they request this morning sincerely, for you said you would not send away the empty, but you'd send them away full. As you broke the loaves and fishes for those who had to have sustenance in the physical, we pray you'll break the word for those, and all of us need the sustenance of the spiritual. We commend ourselves to you, therefore, most gladly and heartily. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, before we get into number 3 on the masterpiece, word by word with talking about it, as Brother Branham gave us, I want to draw your attention to the fact that the great misunderstanding today in scriptural circles is the doctrine of sovereignty of God. Now, we go back to the manuscripts that have been left us by Irenaeus when he debated with the heretics, and we realize that Irenaeus was a student of Polycarp, and Polycarp was a student of St. John the Beloved, and by divine revelation we know that Irenaeus was the messenger to the second church age following Paul. Now, Irenaeus made a statement which literally goes over like a lead balloon and will not be given credence, as we saw last night as we studied Paradox, where the wise men of this world God does not choose. He does not choose the theologians, the inventors, and all of those men of great and sometimes gracious repute. But he chooses the ignorant who, knowing that they have no mind of their own, or any mind which is fit to be in combat with God, they are very happy to accede to the word of Almighty God. Now, Irenaeus said, God being a Savior, it was necessary that God predestinate a sinner in order to give God reason and purpose of being. Now that is just about a rotten, a lousy statement that anybody can make in the light of modern day thinking. Because it simply means that I have the right because I have the power to gratify myself at your expense. That's exactly what it's saying. But that's not what it's saying. See, that's the thing people cannot understand. And there comes a time when you run into the argument, and all you do, you just say, out. Now, we're going to go and show you this in the chapter, in the 9th chapter of the book of Romans to begin with. And I will eventually get along to saying something about the masterpiece, so don't worry. Eventually is the word. Now, Paul is speaking of the sovereignty of God. He said in verse 7, in Isaac shall thy seed be called, and in Isaac. Well, Abraham had another son. What's wrong with Ishmael? Now notice, Rebekah has 2 children by Isaac. And the children not yet being born, neither having done anything, any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of God who jolly well says what he wants to say and jolly well does what he wants to do, and you can like it or lump it. I'm talking very blunt. At this point, we'll get it ironed out straighter. Always you have to listen carefully because I'll make a very strong frontal attack and then come behind and mend the bridges. So just watch. Now, and it is said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now you say, why would God say that? Because he's omniscient and omnipotent. Now unless you say, well, I don't like that. I could do better than that. I got a couple of kids that love me equally. Of course, they're different, and I love this and for that. I love this and for that. And, of course, the first thinks I love the second one more, and the second thinks I love the first more. What you need to do is pick up the Reader's Digest where Eva Brombeck writes a little story about how the mother left three letters to her three sons. One of the most beautiful pieces of work you'll ever read. What shall we say then? Well, God's loused up. He missed the boat. He's got to have done something wrong. Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Now, there is the clue. That's the clue. All things working together for good. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it's written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, and all these things were more than conquerors him that loved us. Now you'll notice the one balancing out the other. One has come to an understanding that God is not some type of a superficial egomaniac. Not some type of a Stalin or a Hitler. Although he has far greater power than a Hitler or a Stalin or a Genghis Khan or a Herod or a Pharaoh. Now, God forbid. You don't even think of it in those terms. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will compassionate him who I will compassionate. So then it is not of him that willeth or wants it, or him that runneth and tries to get it, but of God who shows mercy. Now he's trying to show you something here, that there is a condition existing across the board, and you can say God is in it because God would have to be in it. I'm not going to deny that. But there's an area here where mercy is demanded, and God comes forth with mercy. But watch. For the scripture said unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout the earth. Now God being a tremendous, great, marvelous potentate, going to show mercy upon Moses and Israel, allows them to go down into a wicked nation, and stay there and be servants for 400 years, and exploited to the very hilt, then God brings them up with a strong hand and shows his power and his glory upon his own and the destruction of the wicked. Now people say, now just a minute, I don't like that. That's, we don't have to like it. God, people don't like my preaching because that's just where I stand. There are lots of things I don't have to like. I'm going to lump them. It's exactly what people say. That's an actual, might as well be put in the Bible. You don't like it, lump it. Well, come on, go ahead and change the weather. Like Mark Twain, everybody talks about it. Who does anything about it? We do. We put on air conditioning and I die while my wife feels good. I got ice water between my skin and my flesh. But she feels good, so I go outside in the sun. And I feel good. If I go home at night, the bed to get home and crawl in the covers, the bed's to cold, turn on the electric mattress warmer. I don't care if it's summertime. I'm going to feel good. I lump it. What are you supposed to do? Build your own millennium? Try it. I'm going to tell you, I don't care who you are, you're restricted. Who restricted you? What did it? Where are you going? You got to have answers. This Bible gives answers and man hates it. So let's keep reading. That's why they hate sovereignty of God, a predestination. God being a redeemer, a savior. It was necessary that God predestinate you and me to give him glory. So God sits back there with his hands across his tummy and says, well, ain't that nice? Ain't that nice? Oh, that's good. Does he? Somebody's missing something. They don't recognize God. They have no revelation of God. They just think they do. This is where your tender-hearted misconception be just as full of folly as your hard-hearted dogmatism. There's a middle of the road. By the grace of God, we're going to get there and get out of here when we get there. That's what my preaching is all about and this word is all about. As far as I'm concerned, you do what you want. I've got a plan in mind. I believe it's a master plan. I don't know. I can't prove anything. I'm not about to try to prove it. I just go to the word. Now, therefore, hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. How does God harden him? He just lays the thing out in front of them. They can't take it. Then reach out to the heart. This one a shot of adrenaline. This one a shot of lead poisoning. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? And you know what Paul does? He bypasses it. He doesn't even answer the question like you and I would answer. Nay, but O man, who are you to reply against God? They say, now hold it, Paul. Hold it. You're talking as though you were God and we're replying against you. He said, I'm talking as though I am God because I am God to you. Oh, another lead balloon. You don't believe that? Let's find out. Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Paul is speaking on the body of Jesus Christ and the fulfilling of the stature. And he says in verse 17, therefore I say and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of your mind, puffed up with pride as though you know something. Now, who's Paul talking about? About Paul. Hold your finger there. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. You don't notice it, but Lloyd brought up these very thoughts and sang the very chorus I was going to talk this about, so it just works in perfectly. Notice it says here, in the 36th verse, what? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord and not what somebody else or anybody else says. Now that's like a lumpet. So just a minute, like a lumpet, what do you mean? Get the judgment of God on you for not believing God. I'm going to read further. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their hearts. Now, Paul says right here, if you don't believe what I'm saying, you are darkened, you don't have any life of God, you are ignorant, and you are blind in your heart, you are past feeling, you've given yourself over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ, if so be you have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Christ. Paul was doing the teaching. And he said, when you heard me, you heard Christ. When I taught you, it was Christ that taught you. And I taught you the wholesome words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that William Branham was a prophet in that stature. And let me tell you this. If you don't believe him, you are lost. You are a reprobate. And you are going into the lake of fire, not because Lee Dale says so, because the word of God says so. Because God always has been in the prophet's teachings. Well, I don't believe that God has another prophet, says Paul. Give me that in your Bible. I want you to prove it. You're a heretic. You're another one that rises up against the sovereignty of Almighty God. And you say, well, I know I'm going to tell God what to do. Tell him what. You men can't even tell your wives what to do. Sure, it's right. You say, what about you, Lee Dale? I'm guilty. But I don't have to club my wife. She got a mind of her own. She goes the right way about 99% of everything. But there are certain things I can't break her of, and that doesn't have anything to do with the Scripture. And as I keep telling her, don't leave things that I can fall over. Because one of these days I may fall and break my neck, and I don't trust you. Because if anything happens to me, you're going to pieces. And she knows it, but she'll leave. Well, I'm just as bad or worse. In fact, I'm far worse. But I said, men can't tell their wives, and wives can't tell their husbands, yet they try to tell God. How many of you picked the size of your noses? I won't look at anybody. I just close my eyes because mine's very small. You'll notice. I got a Roman nose that roams all over the place. I forgot to come back. One day a fellow once said, son, he said, don't worry about your nose. There comes a time, he said, when your face catches up to it. I don't think mine ever did. And then I measured somebody else's nose, though his is pretty, his is bigger than mine. And I knew a fellow back in Canada, they called him Plowshare Hewitt because he had a nose like a plowshare. So I haven't felt too bad ever since. I found there's other monstrosities and they're all in the kingdom of God. So what's the difference? Any sovereignty of God. You can't say even I'm going to go to town and know you're going to get there. People do not like the sovereignty of God. They do not understand it and they do not want to understand it because they feel they want to have something to do with it. They cannot possibly take the revelation going back to the beginning where you and I, if we are truly bride, we're a part of Almighty God. In a minuscule fashion. It's getting hot in here. I'm getting steamed up. What's the difference? Take my coat off. See, my blackboard was cleaned. I may have to use it. Now look it. We're going back to Romans again. Reading in that 9th chapter. And he said here, why hast thou made me thus? What are you doing with me? What are you putting me through this for? What's it all about? I hate it. Verse 21, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor, another unto dishonor? Now, let's go to the great China works of the world. Let's pick up some of the clay that they use. Watch it go through a process. How come that if you have a figure made by Behm, B-O-E-H-M, what the great American, you know, he can do flowers and birds and everything else. One piece of his statuary can be worth $250,000. If you happen to buy them at the right price, you'd be rich today. They always sell at a good price. All right, take that clay. How come he can mold it, sculpt it, bake it, paint it? It's worth thousands, later on, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and somebody take a piece of the same clay, make an ashtray out of it. Limoges, be the same thing. An ashtray for $8, or a vase that'll sell for $250,000. And you tell me God can't do the same thing. Now this is an illustration Paul is using to get his point across that God is absolutely sovereign. And when Brother Branham said God knew how many fleas there would be and how many times they would bat their eyeballs, people say, well, I can't take that. Then you can't take God. But it's strange that you do take a law that God has laid down. That of billions of tons of snowflakes, there are never two snowflakes alike. He says, hell, it's God, it's God. But you can't take that God said to Pharaoh, I raised thee up to show my power in thee. How come? How come? You can take the scripture that God so loved the world he gave his only begotten son. You say, I depend on the blood. You're a liar. The blood doesn't do one thing for you unless you walk in the light. Come on, read your Bibles. Read it all the way. Somebody tell you something, brother, sister. Unless you know the doctrine, you are not born again. The proof of knowing the doctrine is the proof of your rebirth. Whether you like that statement or not. You say, my proof, Brother Bale, is fruit. Hogwash. Let's go to India where the Jans are. They'll make you look like a sick two-bit wilted pickle that's laying out there in the dirt for 4 years. They'll produce a life that you stand there and say, my God, I don't have a thing after all. Oh, no. Oh, Jim. Right. You say, how do you know, Brother Bale? Because a dear, very dear friend of mine went there and came back a reprobate. He never had it in the first place. I can call him by name. I got witnesses. I'm not up here as a dummy trying to tell you something they don't know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. Brother Brand said, the Christian science will put you all to shame with your love. Why, he said that renegade Jesus went in the temple and beat the stuffings out of the whole bunch, kicked their money tables over. And everybody thinks that's an idea. Those people weren't doing good. They were doing good according to what they knew, because the Bible said, if you live too far from the temple where the sacrifice will be committed, then would you sell that sacrifice and you bring the money? Then you buy at the temple whatsoever thy soul lusteth after. That's what the Bible said. They need a certain amount of money for a moment in purification. They need a certain amount of money for a child. And those men sat right there and they said, we will change your money because God said so in Jesus. Ah! What kind of love is that? We're sitting here doing what the Word of God said. He said, the law was until John. It's over. The bruised reed he broke. The smoking flax he quenched. God, like a man in midstream, changed horses, so to speak. And the Jews couldn't take it. They never could take the prophets. We'll show you that where Brother Branagh said and trace it through the scripture for him and show you. They never could take it. And they can't take this. That God could take humanity as one lump and said, this is mine, that's not mine. Well, they say, that's God making arbitrary choice. God never made choice at that time. This is predestination, honey. Shows you're all lost up in your thinking again. Pardon my expression, but I just gave up nice talk. Nobody understands nice talk. It confirms them in the way they're going to hell. I'm trying to get you out. I'm going to tell you, brother, sister, if I was down to here in quicksand, I wouldn't care if you used a 4x4 under my chin. Or you said, brother, I would care if you said, now, Brother Bill, we got a 4x here, and it's going to be rough on the old neck and the old head. We'll get you out. You say, well, Brother Bill, I don't like to hurt you, dear boy. You're hurting enough. I'll run down and get one of those padded, like a padded toilet seat, you know, and we'll put it around your neck and gently, I'll be dead by the time you get back, idiot. Oh, that's all right. I wouldn't hurt you. You can take your love, and you know what you can do with it. Burn it on the altar, stupidity. Fact. I don't care if you use a branch of nettles to get me out. Just get me out. Now, I know I have to be this rough, but, you know, I'm this rough in the pulpit. I'm an X-rated preacher. Get me it by yourself, and I'll talk very nice and sweet. You'll be very kind. And they'll hug the babies, and they'll hug me, so you can tell them that, and the dogs don't bark too much either. All right, listen. What if God, willing to show his wrath to make his power known, endured with much long sufferings the vessel fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessel fitted to mercy, the vessel of mercy which he had afore prepared to glory? Now, they'll tell you, they'll say, just a minute. Here's a case where the vessel fitted themselves. That's right, they did. They had nothing in them, you see, to go by way of the word. Jesus said to the Pharisees, the smartest men in the country, the most religious, the most circumspect. They were the most circumspect and the most diligent in their attempts to please God according to what they knew. And he said, there is no place in your heart for the word. And they said, oh, who are you trying to make yourself to be? You're trying to discern us and tell us that we have no place. Jesus said, you're of your father, devil. And the word says, listen, we be not born of fornication. They understood serpent seed. People in Pentecost and all around the country say, oh, this horrible, horrible thing that Reverend William Branham preached, serpent seed, that the serpent had intercourse with Eve. He certainly did. It's taught and accepted by the Jews for thousands of years. Anybody knows that? People can't take it. They rise up against it. So the Jews, the Pharisees said, we be not born of fornication. Do you think they were talking about men and women out there in the street like dogs fornicating? Oh, come on, smarten up. Smarten up. They were telling you that their race wasn't one of fornication. That Abraham came right from the seed of Adam, who was in the image of God. Trace it right back to Adam. Come on, we've done that in Scripture. Adam, the son of God. That's in the book of either Matthew or Luke. I don't care which it is. It's one of the two. The genealogy doesn't go to Cain. They could trace the genealogy back and say, we be not born of fornication. And the word of God comes and says, yes, but there's one lump now. By election. And Brother Branagh said a virgin birth is nothing alongside of a birth of a human being, that God traced that seed down, 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 down. Well, I might as well talk about the seed. This will be sermon is going to be the masterpiece delete. Number two delete. All right, look. Then you go to the back of my Bible where the scientific jargon, not quite jargon, is it? The odds against two individuals being born exactly are astronomical. Except in identical twins, and there's no such thing as a true identical twin. You know that, and I know that. For all intents and purposes, because it looks that way, we call it that way, but when it comes right down to it, there is no such thing. Because the thought processes and reactions are not 100% perfect, though they are very, very close. There are more than 8 million ways that the 23 chromosomes of the mother and the 23 of the father can combine. 23 over here to father, 23 over here to mother, and there's 8 million ways it can over. That's to begin with. All right? Within those chromosomes, there are 23 chromosomes and 23 of the father. The odds against any two children having the same combination of chromosomes are about 70 trillion to 1. Because they can combine all these various ways, and there's 23 and 23, it comes to, what does it say, 70 trillion. What in the world is 70 trillion? 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Is that trillion? That's just billion. 1, 2, 3, is that it? Who knows? I don't know. Put a plus. They tell me that the figure really isn't really a true figure. I don't know. I'm not that smart in mathematics. Okay. And since each chromosome has 1,250 genes. Now, if these make 8 million and can combine 70 trillion, what's it do to your mind? It blows it. Now, doesn't listen. It doesn't say that they're not there, they're there. It doesn't say they all manifest, they don't have to. But they're there. Alright. Then this is the unspeakably, or the unspeakable, complex, unseen. Yet, there, and functional. Though minuscule. Okay, is that right? All right, now let's watch. The odds against any two individuals reach a number so high be written at by one followed by this number of zeros. 31 to 32, 31 zeros. Now that's the odds. Now what am I trying to show you? I'm trying to show you something here, that because this is already manifested in the human body, and we know it to be 100% true, there is no way you can defy this, then this is finite. Then where did the original basic come from? It came from the infinite, because this is infinite to us. We cannot work in those figures. I understand you can work in the billions of a second, but I want to see somebody work in a trillionth of a second. And then if they do that, I want to see this figure worked in. You can't do it. Because you've broken into literally what amounts to eternity. You've broken into another sphere. Now, when you break into that sphere, you're broken into the sphere of God. Now, what if God wanted then to begin to do something about what lies within Him? And believe me, this is nothing as to what lies within God. Then if this can be transposed through a stream of invisible light called a spirit, through an egg and a sperm which cannot be seen except under a high-powered microscope, then what can God do if He wants to do it? And God can take of Himself anytime He wanted, put God up here, and begin to take of Himself in the form of a portion of a spirit, or an outworking of that spirit in creation, and He can bring all these people into existence in one person called Adam. So when He split Adam in two, He made the female with 23 and 1,250, and He made the male with 23 and 1,250, and there wasn't one child that had every one of those manifested, but every single child being a female, would have everyone available for manifestation, and this one would have everything available for manifestation. So therefore, locked within the two of them, they became a microcosm of the universe. Humanly speaking. All right. That's why Brother Branham said it's a whole lot more difficult for God, with his infinite mind even, to bring forth by predestination what lies in here that he wants in a male and a female to put in the bride. It was infinitely simpler to just simply take of himself and make that into a sperm and an egg and put it in Mary's womb. Nothing to it. Nothing to it. There's nothing to this either. Now, since God is the kind of God he is, you tell me how that God could do otherwise than what he did. You say, well, look, I've got two hands. I can't do otherwise. You've got 2 feet. I can't do otherwise. That's exactly right. And God can't do otherwise either because he can't change either. So therefore, God being a Savior and the Creator, he had to do this. Now, this would have been perfect, but the serpent came along. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Oh, no, he was upright. Stick man. He only got changed this later on. That's why you can find some serpents today with hips, namely the boa constrictor is one, but there's another one they found also. And they also found that the serum of the snake is so close to the human being, they worked on to see if they could get that worked out for blood transfusions and so on. Yeah. There's lots of different things the snake comes out when it concerns this. Now, all right, now here this one is a serpent, and he didn't have a soul, but he had a place for a soul, Brother Branham said, which is true, because Jesus confirmed that the Pharisees had something, and they didn't have something they should have had too. There's something lacking here. So this fellow was able to copulate with the woman. Now, let's understand this. In my books, this man, because he was what women look for, you know, the bull figure, you know, the big broad shoulders, the slim hips. Here comes Ryan O'Neill for the Alan McGraws. Oh, I read the paper today. And I could have said worse, too. You see, I fooled you. You thought I was really going to lower the boom on that one. Well, I do at times, but I'm not going to do it today. I've already done it in the figure. So, all right, he comes along and he fools her on the Word of God. Because, you see, she left her husband to go over here in the garden, which I'm not blaming her for, but she stepped from behind the Word of God because God said, you're going to die. And he said, nah, he said, ain't no way to it. Well, he said, you think you would die when God has got this whole thing figured out and so on and so on and so on, and who'd take care of the garden? Who'd do this and who'd do that? You know, he just chart her right down. See, you know, people don't realize seduction is still the greatest force in the world for evil. Not rape. People throw their hands up in horror over rape and then, seduction's great, is it? You gotta be kidding. Talk about a bunch of crud. So that's the manure heads. All right, now he introduces into the human race by his sperm that which was all animal without, I use the word sans, I use that a lot, true soul. And I use true soul because it's known that animals, they don't really have a soul, but they got the thing that equates to it. But they don't have conscience and those things like that, see. All right, he introduced into the human race. And this is what people understand, the Jews understand, it's in their theology, and they preach it for thousands of years. Now, let's take a look then what it got induced in here. We have an induction into here, and in here now, the animalistic. Now look, the animalistic cannot have a part in the kingdom of God under the scope of redemption, which really, we're just going to leave the redemption out for a minute, and I want to read to you the book of Ephesians, the first chapter. Now, here's the plan of God. It said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that blesseth with all spiritual blessings in heavenly place in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, before there was a speck of stardust. Then you and I were there before there was a speck of stardust. And the choosing was in him that we should be without blame before him in love and holy. That was the choosing back there. So therefore, in the beginning, before there was a speck of stardust, before there was a vessel, God had a perfect plan for that perfect vessel. Now you can appreciate that and say, well, I appreciate that. What happened? Well, God's just not creator. He's a savior. He's not just a father. He's a redeemer. He's a provider. So you gotta put the whole thing together. Now you don't blame yourself for being yourself. The man that seduces, he said, well, I got it in me. The one that seduced said, well, he made love to me. What do you think I am, a cold iceberg? The guy that killed said, well, he got in my way. The man of the soul said, well, I thought I needed more than he did. I like this. Nobody blames himself for being what he is, but they sure blame God for being what he is. But you're in the image of God, stupid. Huh? You didn't catch that, did you? Well, if God, you can't blame God for what he is, and you don't blame God for what you are, and you're in the image of God, then you ain't going to blame nobody. You're going to start opening your eyes to find some truth out, to find what is it all about. What is going on here, like we saw last night? What is the pillar of fire doing here? People say they believe this message and close their eyes to it. They don't give a rip. They don't give a hoot. They let their own thinking get in the way. Now listen, I'm not letting my thinking get in the way because I follow the prophet. And he's the one that said a virgin birth is nothing compared to an ordinary birth. When you're dealing with the election, because you've got an admixture here of heaven knows what lies below the surface of what the scientists cannot come up with. So it might not be just 70. It might be 770. And this in front of it. And what lies in here? I don't know. What lies in here? We don't know. Because you can't analyze spirit. You can only take which surrounds the spirit. Then you've got to break into a realm to find out what lies in the spirit. All right? You follow me so far? I hope you do. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if I follow myself, but don't worry, I follow pretty good. All right, now, we're talking then about God. And we're talking about what God put down here. Now, what he put down here is a manifestation of the Spirit. Because God made Adam and Eve as one spirit body, right? Okay, then he put them in two physical bodies, like this. Here's the male, and here's the female. Now look, you don't know, and I don't know one thing about Adam or one thing about Eve. And we don't know one thing about dog either. Because here comes dog, he's a four-footed animal, he loves people, he's got a long, he's got a fairly, most of them fairly pointy nose, and they got ears, and they're covered with hair, and they wag their tails incessantly, and they just love to jump on people and have a great time. That's not dog. That's not dog, because I cannot see dog. I cannot feel dog, I cannot hear dog, because dog is a spirit light. All I can do is see the manifestation of the spirit. So therefore, without a manifestation, I don't know the first thing about dog. Now, everything runs in continuity with God. I don't know one thing about God unless there's manifestation. And then I don't understand manifestation unless I can break in the Spirit and have whatever the Spirit can tell me about God. Now, I cannot break into here for dog. Because if I did break in, dog cannot talk. No. I cannot say, hey, dog. What's with you? Well, he says, what's me, partner, is that I am hungry. A dog is always hungry. Like the horse. How do you know? Because I see him eat all the time. I say, hey, pup, throw him a biscuit. See, I cannot break through to dog in the intelligence. neither can man break through to God in intelligence. Let's get that flat. That's why you get manifestation down here. So what does it mean? What does it mean, children starving? People dying, this, that, and this thing. Let's break through, if we can, to him who, if there is a him, can tell us something. You can't do it. You can't do it. God's got to break through to you and tell you. So therefore, there's manifestation, and after manifestation, there's revelation. But God only deals with one group of people revelation-wise. That's prophets. Now, you see, the whole thing is up for grabs right here. There's where we stand in this church, and I stand 100%, and the people don't like it. They want to be their own prophets. They want to be their own thing. They want to get this and get that. And I say, go ahead. I love you. I'll treat you good. I'll buy you dinner. I'll put you up in a motel. I'll try to help with your bills, with your family, your marriage, everything. But I cannot help you with this. You are not a part of me. But I'll do everything I can for you. There's nothing I can do for you in this realm. Because, you see, you killed it right there. Because you broke God's law of continuity. You don't want to go God's way. This is what Paul said right here. He said, you don't want to go God's way. You just want to mouth off. Let me show you something else Paul said. Over here in the book of Romans, when it comes to faith. He said, the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. How are you going to get up there and get if there's a God up there, how do you go up and get him down? Hey God, I'm going to go up and get you down. Jack of the beanstalk. Tower of Babel. How are you going to get him down? Or who shall descend to the deep? That's to bring Christ up from the dead. All right now. They say, look at this one came down in a human form. Who brought him down? Nobody. Came down on his own. Initiated. Came down. Okay. Nobody brought him down. Just, hey, God, come on down. No move. You know, Ingersoll pulled that many times. If there's a God, let him come down and strike me. And the guy said, smart. That's like a peanut. Sitting on the Santa Fe railroad track and saying, if there be a Santa Fe train, let him come down and squash me. He said, he will in due time. God, come on down. You can't bring him down. Now, this God that came down, that you say runs everything, he got a certain way and he went down here and died. Oh, now God's dead. So God said, who's going to raise God? I like those questions. It wasn't nice to know under certain conditions. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which I, or we, preach. Paul said, I'm going to feed you. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to feed you, baby. Feed like a baby. I already said, here I'm the prophet. The word came down here. I explained the whole thing. Open your mouth wide. And I'll put the words in. I'll tell you what to say. Yeah. I'll tell you what to think. I'll tell you what to believe about God. Because I'm the pipeline. Now, people don't like that. Well, they say, us great theologians, we got the pipeline. Oh, we're the great theologians, we can tell you. We're smart. Not those dumb bunnies that can't sign their name hardly. Paradox. Now, it wasn't those guys weren't smart, or those apostles weren't smart. They weren't a bunch of idiots. Let me tell you that God does not put a premium on ignorance, and he doesn't take care of idiots by way of redemption. In the sense that they've got to be born again. If you are an idiot, you are excused. You're like a baby. Any idiots here this morning want to sneak in another wire? You better plead it one way or the other, honey, because you're in for trouble. The minute you say, I see, you're condemned if you see wrong. Jesus said, if you hadn't have said, I see, he said, you'd have been blameless, but now your sin remains. I'm just quoting scripture, and I'm quoting it wrong. Don't kid me, I'm quoting it wrong. I'm quoting 100% right. I know where I stand. You bet I know where I stand. Listen, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. On what ground? Who went up to bring him down? Nobody's seen him. Anybody smelt him. Tim, what kind of a God you got of a God out there anyway? Oh boy, what kind of a God have you got? I can tell what kind of God you got on a lovely sunny day, and the lake is very quiet and beautiful. Everybody's fishing on old Galilee, having a ball. It's nice. Oh, he's a lovely God. Hallelujah. Let the joy bells ring. But nobody knows a squall comes up in a hurry on old Galilee, and pretty soon the boat is rocking, and the ships are going down, and the men are dying. Now what kind of a God is he? Pretty stink, ain't he? Oh, smell the roses, honey. Oh, beautiful God. Lovely roses. Get a bumblebee on your nose or a thorn in your finger. Hey, what kind of a God is this anyway? Nobody knows. He's inscrutable. He's invisible. How are we going to get him down? Why, he came down in a man, Christ Jesus, the masterpiece. We're going to talk about it. Don't worry. This is all part of the masterpiece. I just got to have my say. I got it because I got him teaching, see? All right, look here. Now we got him down. But he died upon Calvary. Who's going to bring him up? Well, you said that wasn't really God. Then you are not really your father and mother, then, are you? Where did you get your life then? Where did you get your body? Well, you said that's a minuscule part. That's the attribute. Now you're talking sense. Because Jesus Christ was the attributes of God manifested in human form. Just like up here, we had the 12 and the 23 and the 1,250, bringing up to what the 7 million or what is 70 million over here, and this one with 9,000 zeros behind, and God knows what, because you can't break into the spirit. See, now God came down, took upon himself the form, the spirit clothed itself. So that is God. For all intents and purposes, for a sacrifice. And then he indwelt him. And then that creation, that one died. And he raised him up for our justification. Now, what we're looking at is this. In the scripture here, it said, if you're willing to believe what I have taught you, if you will listen, and you'll say, that's right, that will begin to take a hold of your heart. And you will be breaking into the realm of the Spirit of Almighty God through the prophetic utterance. Well, let's find out. People say you believe the Bible. Let's go to the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 18. The pillar of fire appeared to Israel. And it says in verse 15, the Lord thy God will raise up a prophet in the midst of thee of thy brethren like unto me, and him you'll hear. According to all the desires of the Lord thy God in Horeb, the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken, but they spoken. I'll raise up a prophet from among the brethren, like unto thee, and I'll put my words in his mouth, and he'll speak unto them all that I shall command him. It'll come to pass, whosoever will not hearken unto my words, that he shall speak in my name, I'll require it of him. It tells you right there that God deals with mankind through a prophet. So, you cannot break into the realm of the spiritual on your own. And if you try it, you will die for it. Well, you say, Brother Vail, don't Brother Vail me. So I don't like being Brother Vail. No, I don't want to be kowtowed to either. But I'd sooner have you kowtowed than Brother Vail me, as though I'm making a mistake. Because I'm not making a mistake. 16th chapter of Numbers. Korah and son of Korah. And he's a Levite. The son of Isaac, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi. Dathan and Abiram, they were rich men. They thought they knew something too. They rose up before Moses because they had the gift of prophecy. And they said, listen here, Moses, I want to tell you something. He said, you're not the only one that can break into God and God break into you. He said, get out of the way, boy, we can do it too. And you know, the same Moses who one day said, he said, Lord, he said, if you kill them, kill me with them. He rose up and he said, God, if you don't kill them, you never sent me. The meekest man in all the world. Jesus said, I've got to die. The corn of wheat's gone to fall on the ground and die. Or it abides alone, I've got to die for you. And he kicked their money changers out. And he said, you generation of vipers, you serpents, you know the damnation of hell, you're going to die with them. There wasn't one bit of salvation for them. That's the God you're dealing with to say that you know. Do you know your God or don't you know your God? I'm letting you know that God cannot help himself any more than you can help yourself. God is what he is. I am the Lord, I change not. And at the end of the road, you'll find that he is just, though inscrutable at this point, you'll find everything you want to know. And we're in process of learning right here. If we just let ourselves go, we've had one of the greatest prophets the world's ever seen. And the only one the Gentiles ever really will see.
And he taught us because the pillar of fire was with him face to face. And he proved it by the very fact of Deuteronomy chapter 18, where it says, if that prophet comes in the name of the Lord, and the thing that he says come to pass, you listen to him. How many listened to William Branham with Thus Saith the Lord? They made up their own Thus Saith the Lord. Now you see, I say, Brother Dale, I believe the Bible. Then you don't believe the Bible I believe, because I'm standing with what God does in continuity. And the Pentecostal rest come right back. I came out of Pentecost. I know what I'm talking about. Their women preachers would turn down a prophet so fast because the women want to be prophets because the women, women represent the church. You can't tell a woman anything. Whenever you have been able to tell her, you will tell her. You say, come now, don't come now. Meet right in the garden. God couldn't tell her thing. He said, you'll die. She said, hogwash, I'll die. My buddy here told me different. It wasn't Adam. Adam walked into the trap with his eyes open. The Bible said Adam was not deceived. Prophets are not deceived. Prophets are channels that God gets into. And then what does God do? He begins to work through a prophet. He brings out a manifestation. And that manifestation catches people's attention. And the prophet stands back and tells you what it all means. See, people don't understand that. They don't understand sovereignty. They don't understand that only the people of God will understand. Here comes the word up from the prophet. And the people will take it. I've told you time after time, how come there's a great meeting. Brother Branham had a great meeting there in Portland, Oregon. That's the time the demoniac was caused to fall across his feet. He said, Satan, because you have challenged the servant of the Most High God, I command you to fall across my feet. And that man hissing and spitting. And six cops couldn't subdue him. People just ran because they knew what he would do. He just began to sway like a serpent. He just fell right across Brother Branham's feet. It took cops to pull him off. And a man sat there, one of the greatest men in divine healing in this world. He said, and the voice spoke to him, said, he said, that's the way the Bible does it. You can do it too. That voice didn't talk to me when I saw Brother Branham. The voice said to me, if you ever listen to any man, that's the man to listen to. Who had the right voice? Well, you say, that man did. That's your... Is it true? Then you better read Matthew 24, 23 to 27 over again and begin to read Matthew 7, 15 to about 22. And you'll find out that as rotten as I am, that's God's business how rotten hammers anybody else is. And as poor as I am, and everything else, I evidently heard the right voice. Because when Christ was smitten, we'll talk about that in the masterpiece. In his glorified form, the voice of God said, hear you him. It didn't say imitate him. It said hear him. We're in the hearing business, brother, sister. And if you can see with your eyes in the right way, you'll hear with your eyes. That's right. You will hear with your eyes. And you will see with your ears. I got no axe to grind with anybody. I merely keep explaining myself all the time in my position here because taking everything else will. And I know no matter how much I explain what I say, it's not understood by very many people. But that's what Brother Branham told me. You can do what you want because I'm going to do what I want. And he said, his gift was like mine. I said, what do you mean? He said, nobody wants mine, nobody wants yours. So, he didn't say quit preaching. And I get very alarmed if too many people say they believe like me. I say, well, then I can't be believing right. There's something wrong with Lee Vale. He's being led astray somewhere. Now, what I've said is very, very simple, actually. If you can look at figures, and I showed you figures on the board, if you can understand what is in what's in a man and a woman, that number of combinations to be produced, and they've been going from cell to cell and body to body, and believe me, there never has been or will be one with 3,000 zeros behind it, which means trillions upon trillions, because God does not deal in the trillions in the human race. It is proven conclusively, as far as we know, conclusion can be drawn. There were maybe 5 billion people living at the time of the flood, and there'll be 5 billion now living at the time of the fire. Then what's in between? There could hardly be any more than 20 billion more. So let's give a round figure of 50 billion people. How many is that from a trillion? 950 million. Or a billion, beg your pardon. Where's that figure? I won't put it on the board. Too much of a nuisance. Now, sovereignty of God, the most misunderstood, the most hated doctrine that William Branham stood for. And he stood before the Pentecostals, which he was Pentecostal in the sense that he worked with them. He had to. I was Pentecostal literally because I came out of them. Saved in the Pentecostal independent church at the age of 18. Preached for them for years and years. Saw that they were off the word, couldn't understand. But began examining things. Ran across the prophet William Branham. And those people couldn't understand, so one day he stood before them. And he did a most amazing thing. Here is a man that God can speak through and is proven. Because he said, if I tell you a lie, I'm a hypocrite. A certain man that used to work in this area come through, he said, if I tell you I'm a hypocrite, and I said, now hold it, that man's a liar. And I said, the truth is not in him because he's trying to be Brother Branham. Because if I tell you a lie, I am not a hypocrite. I would just be a liar. Now, if I was telling you a lie in order to fool you, I'd be a hypocrite. It means that I did know the truth, but I deliberately told you something wrong to fool you. This man is in my shoes. He cannot get to God. There's no way he can get to God on his own. I don't care who he is. That's not allowed. It's in the Bible how you get to God. For the answers on theology and those things that are in the scripture. The doctrine. Because it's not simply up for grants. Seven church ages had seven messengers, and he that hath an ear heard the word of the Spirit said. So let's get down to the Bible. Our future theologian says, I'm sick and tired of theologians. They can write their name and I can't. Makes me a candidate. I never write my name. He wrote my name. That wasn't just fast thinking. All right, look. So Brother Branham stood before the people. He said, you Pentecostals don't like the word predestination. I'll use the word foreknowledge then. And they said, hallelujah. They fell in the trap. And the trap is simply this, that God knew and did nothing about it. But he knew what you would do. Then I want to ask you a question. If God knew what I would do, where did he get his information? Because something is behind me. Right? He's got to know from somewhere. So I'm not going to stump God. God has two sections within God. what we'll do, we'll just rename the name of the tape. We'll just call it intermission. Because I'm not going to be able to get to it. All right, look, here's God in the beginning. Before there was space or time. Then before there was space or time, what was there? God. You say no space or time? Certainly no space or time. Let's define it. I can't. Let your mind start to go. What if you weren't here? Now, just do it. Let your mind go. What if I weren't here? I don't mean what if I was down there at the cafeteria having dinner. Give me another half hour. We'll get you out of here. I mean, what if you weren't here? I'm looking at Dave. Now, Dave, let's say, what if you weren't here? What if you weren't Dave? What happened just then? Your mind went boom. Just went bong, bong. Just bongo right there. Just bonkers, you're gone, right? Now, there's pretty smart people here. Joe's one of them, Dave's one of them. I don't qualify. I'm more along like the old Don Keller over there, unqualified. But even we can sit down, Don, and say, now, what if I weren't living? As though I'd never lived. What if it wasn't here? What if it wasn't out there? What? But it is. But it is. But it is. So don't go dealing with the nebulous when you have got your hands on the concrete. I said that on purpose because we had a concrete prophet. There the camera took it. Well, for your religion too. You sneer at God, watch him return the sneer. The scripture. With the froward, I'll become froward. With the unsavory, I'll become unsavory. That's not Lee there talking, that's God. If you think I'm raunchy and can bite, and I don't bite for the real reason. I just bite because I bite. God's got a purpose. So you don't fool with God. Up here, God is up here. And there are two sections. Omniscience. Omniscio, all knowledge. Omnipotent. All power. Whoop, didn't get the end in there. Got it in now. Now look, that's exactly what God was. Now, within here, the supreme knowledge, every thought was already there. Now, your mind just lost track right then, didn't it? I don't blame you. There's nobody. Nobody can fathom that. You simply got to accept it. God is not having new thoughts on any subject. Sorry about that. Let us sink in. Just like it. Just what if you weren't here and nothing out there? What if there never was? What if there's no God? What if there's no matter? Well, there is. So therefore, you're stupid to even think anything different. Now, if God is omniscient, and omniscience stands for the sum total of all, then he already had it. In there, whatever he thought that he would ever do, providing he did something, which is down in here, ability to do, ability to plan, the ability to purpose, it's all in here. Nothing can be added, nothing taken. And here it's all down in here, see. Now here is this God. Now that's what you're dealing with. Now he's going to start doing something because he's got the power to do it. And he's got what it takes to do the thing, so it's right. God can never be wrong. No, wrong, thoughts, or procedures. And there's that one he had in the procedures. No wrong thoughts or procedures. No wrong decisions, etc., etc. Perfection. Okay? Perfection? Now listen. All of this in here looks, hey, I don't believe that. You're wrong. That's true. So you see, there's going to come a day when God being a Savior predestinates. And he's never wrong. No wrong thoughts. No wrong procedures. No wrong decisions. That's right. Never made a boo-boo. In doing this, though it looks like it to mankind, so all right, here's where you get Brother Branham's telling you, perfection up here ends up in perfection down here. Or finally, this comes back to that proving at the end of the road, the purpose of God was 100% all the way through. Now, there's where your faith lies, and there's where your peace lies, and your understanding lies, and people cannot understand sovereignty, so they're all mixed up. The word sovereign concerning God is the same word. Because if God is not sovereign, he is not God. And God means simply this. He is one who does anything he wants to do, anytime he wants to do it, and he's answerable to nobody but himself. But remember, himself, he's answerable to. You ever think of that? And that's not a whim. That's not a whim. It is a nature. Such as it says, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. He could not change. All right, now look. We're going to start to go back to the beginning here for a few minutes, then we let you go. All right, here we have him, omniscience and omnipotence, and neither space nor time. Then what is God going to do? The only thing that God can do is God can work with what he's already got, which is himself. There's nothing to that. So God begins to manifest himself. Maybe a light goes out, as Brother Branham said. He begins to take, having collected and marshaled all of his thoughts, and being omnipotent, he can now put it into play, and creativity is one of the attributes of omnipotence. But it's creativity that is thoroughly managed, projected, induced, or whatever you might call it, through the omniscience, which is perfection. Now let me tell you something. This perfection never has a flaw or ever changes. It is down in here that though that is perfection also, it can manifest in a way that people would say that is not perfection. But it is. Because all his ways are perfect. And they are past finding out. So all right now, he begins to move in here. What happens then? He begins to move in this area where nothing but God begins to appear. In other words, God now says, I'm going to create, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And to do it, then I must have a relationship with what I do. So therefore, I myself must take on a certain substance. Well, say we have a light here. And pretty soon you have light, you have pillar of fire, and so on. Now God is moving, and so now, through this process, he literally creates a space, and he puts a portion of eternity into time. He takes his creative power, and he starts, of course, by making naturally, Brother Branham said so truly, before God had a fish, that's not a very good fish, but as good as I can draw. Ha ha, good fish. Put an eye, you forgot that fish has an eyesight. He's also, that's not the bait, we'll put that out there. Before there was a fish with a fin to swim, there was water to swim in. So therefore, God began moving in the element of what you might call the inanimate, and he himself alone was animate. So now he makes the space and time, we'll say, matter, creation, all these things out here, through the process of this, of God operating through himself legitimately in a physical form. So now all the creation is in there as he needs it. From that time on, then he puts the archangels, he puts the cherubim, he puts the angels, he begins all these other things, whatever they are, and when he comes down here, he's got an earth down here. Now in his mind, and this is difficult, I know a lot of this, I don't say I'm perfect on what I'm saying, I'm leading, just using the best I can to understand myself and what the prophet taught. All of these things here, he had all lined up. Now, he's got an earth down here. And in this earth now, he hasn't put anything in the realm of the physical manifestation of any spirit manifestation. It's just spirit form. So now he goes ahead and he makes Adam and Eve. He puts them here in a spirit form, in this little location here in a spirit form. And then he begins to clothe them in the physical form. But before he does, he makes a Garden of Eden because he's always got to make the physical first. He's got the seed to put the fish in. He's got the air to put the birds in the trees and all of these things. He is doing this. Now listen, he said, let the earth bring forth the beast. Now you know as well as I do that that's the most ridiculous statement in all the world that is stand by itself. There is no way that the earth can bring forth a beast because it doesn't have it in it. So what is it? The beast is already there. Like the seed was already there. So what does God do? God begins to clothe the beast. So he said, let the earth bring forth the beast. That's why he said, we came out of the ground, to dust we return. We never came out of the ground. But look, and I talk about, I said, here's dog. You don't see dog. You don't see horse. Let's go a step further. Here is, heaven prepares the thought. Here's chicken. That's more like a turkey. Oh, here's turkey. Forget the chicken. Here's turkey. You can see I never was good at art. Who cares? All right, now, just a minute. Turkey came out of an egg. Now there is turkey. Well, don't tell me it's not, because that is turkey. Well, no, that's turkey. No. And that is not turkey. What is turkey? I can't see him. No, we ain't going to see him. No, good here. Here's living roses. You say, that is a rose. That is not a rose. I'm sorry, but that is not a rose. Certainly it's not a rose. It's the manifestation in a physical form of the life which is rose. Now let that guy, this part here, look, if I hadn't cut this off, Rose keeps going on. Just that manifestation is gone. Well, you got the same thing here we're talking about. Now, in here is a light. That under the right conditions, it's already a spirit form. Under the right conditions with the proper chemistry, you will see what you call turkey. But you never see turkey. Can't do it. But how do you know this is turkey and it is not dog? Very strange dog. Put a nose on. Who cares? That's he's walking on his front feet. That's a circus dog. All right, here is life. Life here too. But that is not really dog. That is the manifestation of the attributes that lie within the spirit when it is properly joined up to a physical substance that it can adhere to and reproduce itself through. Okay. Now, I hope you're beginning to understand what I'm talking about. All right. Here's the unseen and the unknown God. And in him we have the two major classifications of the omniscience and the omnipotence. All right, now look. Unless God works a chemistry of some description, something which he has an affinity to, something which will be representative of, to identify. I don't care what he makes. I don't care what he does. He is still obscure. Now, he made all the creation down here. And he put intelligent beings in it. Hopefully. They were. Now let's read about that. We go to Romans, the first chapter. Verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes the gospel, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there in the gospel is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now he tells you that there is a message that God is giving to a people that can take a message, and by that message they will have eternal life. Amen. In other words, God says, I'm going to tell you something in the ordained way of you being told, and it'll get you there. Get us where? Back to where we came from. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed all spiritual blessings having place in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. He has chosen before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to this very thing. So therefore there was a life of the Spirit that took upon itself a form which is physical, which is your predestination, based upon your foreknowledge and your calling. My sheep hear my voice when they call me. Then where were you? Right here in the beginning with him, here and in here. Understand what we're saying? Now, if a human being has the attributes of 12 and 1,250, I don't remember what they were, who give 23, I beg your pardon. I can remember figures and who cares. They're astronomical anyway. I can't deal in astronomics. I'm down here with the chickens eating bread and butter. All right, if a human being has within him this, which has come down through a human race. See? You understand what I'm saying? Then don't tell me, since it came from him in the spirit, which is life, which you cannot identify without a substance, and this is only the substance, then don't tell me the original substance that you can't see didn't come from there, because it did. Now, as the word is the thought is the thought, and the word is the expression of the manifestation, so we were those thoughts, and now we're expressed down here. The same as God began to express himself. Pillar of fire goes out, this goes out, that goes out. An angel comes down to earth, the form of a man comes down to earth, and then God takes and compresses all of this into a sperm and an egg and puts it in the woman's womb. And she becomes an incubator, and a God is born. Son of God. And God inhabits him. Now, this was manifestation. This is manifestation. Okay. Now, let's face this. God's, here he is. This one, this one. Alright, here's Adam down here in Eve. The serpent comes in. He messes things up. That's alright. God's the Savior. Who comes down? God comes down in a pillar of fire, and he talks, and he's the Redeemer, and he said, look, I'm going to take care of everything. The seed of the woman is going to take care of that, and this and this and the other thing. It's all perfectly all right. I'm going to work this thing out. In other words, he the Redeemer comes down, and he starts redemption. Okay? Now man's on his way back. Now look, God comes down, but there comes a time when God does not come down any longer the way he came down, because he was coming down and he was dealing with individuals. He dealt with Adam. He dealt with Noah. He dealt with Abraham. He dealt with Isaac. He dealt with Jacob. And we're going to talk about him in the masterpiece next week or next Wednesday. And he talked to Joseph. And he went on down the line, and he came to Moses, and he said, Moses, I'm going to tell you something. By my name Jehovah, I was not known. That is not true. He was known. Ah, yes. When he said that in Exodus, he was not forgetting. He said it over here to Abraham, when Abraham was up there in Mount Moriah offering his son. He was, I am the Lord that provides. I'm Jehovah provider. But that was individually. See, now to Moses, it is collective. God now becomes known collectively to the people. How? Prophet. Prophet. Go to your Bibles. Look, I'm not stuck in this. I'll challenge any theologian living to prove me wrong, because see, I've been to the theologians, and this is not my own thinking. I got this from the smart boys. Oh, yeah. I've done my homework. Once in a while. I'm pretty lazy. I admit it. I'm lazy and... But you don't know that, so that's fine. All right, he deals now en masse through prophets. That's why Brother Branham talked, as I told you last week, about foundations through the patriarchs, molding and bringing up a perfect man. That's a perfect man, God man, more than man, different from Abraham, different from Adam. Absolutely different, Adam. Adam was not made the sperm, the sperm in the egg from the theophonic portion of the manifestation of Almighty God. He different. He was different. Blood of man would not do it. This is different. The Bible distinctly says Jesus only took a part of the flesh. He appeared in the form of nature, tempted in all points like as we are, and he did not fall. Now, what I'm trying to say in here is this. When you go into the masterpiece, and this is what I would have just woven in just a little bit, and we'd have called... Instead of this whole dissertation, I want you to know that Brother Branham talks of the foundations and the corners, and then he goes to the prophets. You understand that everything is pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's understand this. He came, fulfilled, and went. Now, if the plan was in the prophetic area pointing to him, what will point back? Nothing but the prophets. Why? I'll tell you why. Because Paul said, look, they're going to preach another Jesus. They're going to preach another gospel. They're going to have another spirit. Merciful God, what more do you want to be wrong? Now the whole thing is gone. Tell me then, how are we going to get back? We've lost him. Jesus. You sitting here, how many of you people know that the name of the Father and the Son is the same name? I came in my Father's name. Then what's the name of the Father? Jesus. What's the name of the Son? Jesus. Then when this Bible speaks of Jesus, which one are you talking about? Do you know that God is Lord? Yes. Do you know that he made Jesus Lord? Yes. How many lords we got? Two. Do you know which one he talks about when he talks about which one? Interesting question, isn't it? Oh, you've been Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian all your life. Answer me that one. Come on. I'm not trying to smart up. I'm just showing you, you ain't half smart as you thought you were. You've been sold a bill of goods. A bunch of emotion. Dogma. Creeds. Tinas. Hogwash. Because my Bible says they threw another Jesus on you. So then you haven't got the real one. Well, the real Jesus, please stand up. Why do you think all these things on TV and every place around the world points right to this hour here? And it was always three people. And will the real one stand up? Will the real God manifest himself? And we tell you something. If he did, without a prophet, you wouldn't get anywhere. Because God has to manifest in a form, and then the form must be delineated. And that change, God are coming to individuals, it's always got to come to the group. And you say, well, just a minute. Don't just a minute me, my brother, my sister, because when the Holy Ghost came at Pentecost, he came to 120 at one shot, just names alone. But when he came to the Word, he came to Paul for the Gentiles alone. And since Alpha's Omega, he's got to go back to it. So we had prophets that hewed out the body on a foundation up to Jesus. Who do you think did the hewing since then? He doesn't change his ways. That's why we found out that Hebrews 13:8 is misunderstood by almost everybody to say we believe Brother Branham's message. Hebrews 13:8 is not Mark 16. Hebrews 13:8, I am the Lord, I change not. Sure. The difference, my brother, my sister, it's a terrible difference. Once you begin to see things, it sets you free. Why? Because you don't have your own thinking anymore, your own mind. You don't have to worry about your own thoughts. What do you care? You go to what the Word, you go here with the Word. We have the perfect delineation. We have the perfect exegesis. We had a prophet that came on the scene. And he said, that which is perfect has come. Why, we prophesied in part. We had the thing in part. But he said, now the perfect has come. And what does the word perfect mean? It means it's finally concluded. It's polished. It's rounded off. You can't add to it. You can't take from it. There it stands. And Brother Branham taught through seven ages where seven messages. And you say, oh, who ever heard of that nonsense? It's right in the Bible. And when you get the seventh message, you got it all. He that hath an ear has said seven times. And at the seventh time, I stand at the door and knock. So, when this prophet's on earth, God is on earth.
Amen.
You tell me the Bible doesn't dovetail. You told me one mistake the prophet made. You show me one thing that's out of cater. And I'll show you a rabid, dog-bitten, false prophet. It has one purpose, to destroy the sheep. We got a second? We'll let you go. Let's go to Matthew, the 23rd chapter. I might read this next week. I don't know. He said in verse 20, even so you ought to appear righteous unto men, but you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Warned you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. The Catholics are doing that right now. Oh, if Leo hadn't have been the Pope and Tetzel hadn't been his right-hand man, if we'd have had John, what is it, 22 or 3? I forget. What's the difference? One of the Johns. 23 or 22? 22. Why, he said, you Protestants would still be with us. They're garnishing the tombs again, showing they're the killers. The Protestants, oh, the Catholics have changed. Oh, those lovely people. Well, they are lovely people. I got nothing against the Catholics. It's what they believe. What they're taught. And say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. We wouldn't have kicked out poor old Luther and killed those millions. Catholics say, we wouldn't have killed 60 men. You ready to turn over? Don't do it. Don't worry about it. Let me just read what I was going to read here. He said, wherefore, behold, I send to you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some you scourge, you kill and crucify. What did he send? Prophets, wise men, scribes. You scourge them in synagogues. Upon you may come the righteous blood shed upon all the earth, and the blood of righteous Abel, to the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, who stood between the temple and the altar. All these things come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stone them that are sent unto you. And he said, what I send, you receive. You receive me. You receive the Father. And I'm going to tell you, if God cannot change, he is Hebrews 13:8. If he did send the prophet, and that prophet was William Branham, and you turned him down, you turned down God. I don't care what you say, and I don't care what I say. We have blown it, because God is ever true. He doesn't conform to you and me. We're in the same boat. Well, God, why do you do it this way? I want it my way. He says, step aside. You have it your way for the next 5 minutes, and it's all over. Amen. You do what you want. And now you say, Brother Vade, you're preaching mean and rough. Not half as rough as old Apostle Paul, I tell you that, brother, sister. You think I'm rough and tough, you should have met locked horns with him. One fellow locked horns with him, they're both pretty good Christian boys, and one fellow said, look at it, it's this way, and Paul said, hold it. No man runs my business. Goodbye, Barnabas. And you never heard from Barnabas one more time, but you heard from Silas. One day Moses stood there, the meekest man on all the earth. He said, Lord, kill me if you kill them. And then he said, God, if you don't kill them, you didn't send me. What's this funny thing? What's this funny thing going on? I'm going to tell you, there's a God who doesn't change. And when he gives his word, it's not maybe, perhaps, or may will be. It's a God who gave that word, then judgment follows. I want to go into the whole thing more and more next week. I don't know. It's a repeat, I know. Let's rise. Tapes run out. That's enough. Heavenly Father, we glorify thy great and good name. Father, we're so happy that you are with us today to show us these things, Lord, to help us express them.